I'm glad that you've chosen to listen to our messages from the Presbyterian Church of Barnet. I'm Howard Gaston, the pastor, and I believe that God's Spirit will speak to you during this time.
Our scripture lesson today is from 2 Corinthians, and I'll be reading chapter 5, verses 1 through 10. For we know that when this tent we live in, our body here on earth, is torn down, God will have a house in heaven for us to live in, a home he himself has made, which will last forever. And now we sigh, so great is our desire that our hope, which comes from heaven, should be put on over us. By being clothed with it, we shall not be without a body. While we live in this earthly tent, we groan with a feeling of oppression. It is not that we want to get rid of our earthly body, but that we want to have the heavenly one put over us, so that what is mortal will be transformed by life. God is the one who has prepared us for this change, and he gave us his Spirit as a guarantee of all that he has in store for us. So we are always full of courage. We know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord's home. For our life is a matter of faith, not sight. We are full of courage and would much prefer to leave our home in the body and be at home with the Lord. More than anything else, however, we want to please him, whether we are at home, here, or there. For all of us must appear before Christ to be judged by him, and we will receive what we deserve according to everything we have done, good or bad, in our bodily life. Amen. There's kind of an interesting little trivia thing about historically. In the Mediterranean Sea, right there at the Gibraltar mountain or rock, is that Strait of Gibraltar, where in days past, before Columbus, there used to be a kind of a stone or a plaque there that basically said, ne plus ultra. Ne plus ultra, which means not beyond, nothing beyond here, or no, nothing beyond here. And that was the belief of the people that passed the Mediterranean into the Atlantic Ocean, there was nothing. It was the world was flat, you fell off the edge, you disappeared. And then Columbus came along. And it's interesting that they actually then Spain changed their slogan to plus ultra, more beyond. And if you look and Google it, you'll see a logo or a symbol of Spain that has that plus ultra, meaning more beyond. Now, for many of us, when we think about our lives, when we think about our earthly lives, when we think about our eternal lives, we're somewhere around there that ne plus ultra or plus ultra. There's nothing beyond or there's more beyond. And when Paul was talking to the Corinth church, he was kind of reminding them about the beyond. He was reminding them about this new tent, this new building that was being built for us, that we will be clothed with, as he says, this heavenly body. Now, one of the historical things that we have to understand about the Corinth church and their attitude was, in the early church, was they firmly believed that Jesus was coming back, the imminent return of Christ. And we're talking immediate. Jesus said while he was alive that this generation will not pass until they see the coming of the kingdom of God. And so people took that literally, that before a generation or so of Jesus' time, 33 AD, and we're talking now about 52 AD, that Jesus, they believed Jesus was going to come back. Now, and bring his kingdom. Now, if we begin to think about that, one of the things that kind of logically would happen, if you know that Jesus is coming back within a couple years and that everything that we know of is going to be completely transformed, you would change your attitude about life. And that's what was happening in the early church, almost to a bad degree. Because they were thinking, well, if Jesus is coming back in a couple years, why work? Why get married? Why worry about anything? I'm not going to fix my house. It's going to be gone in a couple years. And so there became this really lackadaisical attitude about life here on earth. Because Jesus is coming back. And so one of the reasons why Paul in chapter 5 begins to continue, or I believe develop this idea about our faith, is that he was trying to deal with this problem. He had all these Christians, not only in the Corinth church, but the other churches saying, well, Jesus is coming back, so what's the point? I'm not going to work today. How about you? No, I'll just stay here. And Paul was saying, that's not the attitude that we need. That's not what the people around you need to see in your life. Now, in a way, we don't really struggle with that as much. We still believe Jesus is going to come back someday, but it's not as immediate. And so our attitudes have kind of shifted. And I think a great theologian, biblical theologian, has come up with kind of our new attitude. And actually, he sung about it. If you want to play that song. So I don't think Kenny Chesnick ever read 2 Corinthians chapter 5. But he got the problem for us is that we all want to go to heaven, but not just right now. Even though we know what's ahead of us, even though we know what our future is, as we talked about last week, we're still kind of want to, we want to stay with what we know. And so instead of like the Corinth church where they were looking forward to Jesus coming because of their life and because of all the things that are going on, we are kind of like, okay, yeah, I believe it, but hope it doesn't come today. Hope it's maybe tomorrow, maybe 100 years from now. And I think Paul, what he was trying to get across to the Corinth people and what we need to read in this is still the same thing. Because as he goes further along, he says, so whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please him. So whether we are at home or away, whether we are here bodily or on our way to heaven, in heaven, we make it our aim to please Christ. That's kind of our purpose. That's kind of what we're all about. And as I look at 2 Corinthians and Paul building to this point, he's kind of come to, I think, a high point in this book, because now the rest of the book kind of, I believe, deals with how do we live that way? How do we aim to please Christ? And Paul gives us four little things that we're going to look at in the next couple of weeks that I think are, you know, huge for us and are a part of our Christian faith. The first one is later on, we'll talk about next week about that we are called to be reconcilers. We're called to be people who reconcile relationships. Whether it's relationships between God and other people in their faith in Christ, or reconciling other people to each other, or systems to each other. But we, as the peoples who follow Christ, are called to be people who reconcile relationships. And we'll get into that a little bit more, but I want us to stop and ask ourselves a question. When have you done that? When have you been involved in reconciling a relationship? I don't, you know, don't answer this out loud, but I think a lot of us can think of times where we have broken relationships. But how many times have we mended those relationships? Think about that as the week comes by. Then later on, Paul gets really into the idea of being generous, being a people who give of themselves, give to not just charity, but who they are to others. The sense of generosity. And as, you know, as a people who have been given much, who have been blessed much, we are called in turn to be a people who are a generous people. Question for you to think about. Have you ever been told that you are a generous person? And then let's build it up bigger as a church. Have we as a congregation been told that we are a generous church? Maybe we have. But if we haven't, as a person or as a church, then we are not living as the aim to please Christ. Then Paul gets into two other things that we're going to really, he has dealt with and struggled with, but you and I will struggle with this a lot, I'm sure, too. He first says we need to live within our weaknesses. Now, we live in a culture that praises winners, that is big on how many stats, you know, how many, you know, achievements have you had, how many trophies have you had, how many career promotions you have, how high you've gone up on the ladder, how successful you are. And yet Paul is calling us as believers to live within our weaknesses. We want to ignore them. We want to build them up. We want to do something with them, not live in them. So ask yourself, what are those weaknesses that Christ wants you to live in? Then finally, also, Paul, then, as he's been dealing with throughout this book, is that how we deal with hardships. And I think that this last part is a combination of the previous three that we talked about. Reconciliation, obviously, is about a time which you have had a broken relationship. And that's a hardship. Probably one of the hardest things that we ever go through in our lives is a relationship that falls apart. Generosity, being a person who's generous, means you give away what you have. We all need the stuff we have. We all want it. We all like it. And sometimes it's hard for us to give it away. And it's really hard to live out of our weaknesses. So whether we are here or at home, we are called to live to please Jesus Christ. And I think in those four ways that we talked about, if you listen to Kenny Chesnick's song a little bit more at the end, he kind of gives his motivation why he doesn't want to go to heaven yet. This is the phrase he says. Said preacher, maybe you don't see me. Throw in an extra 20 in the plate. There's one for everything I did last night and one to get me through today. Here's a 10 to help you remember the next time you get the good Lord's ear. Say I'm coming, but there ain't no hurry. I'm having fun down here. Now that's not our motivation. Our motivation, whether we are at home or away, is to please Christ. Let's pray. God, we do thank you for the hope and the assurance and the promise that we have for our future. That our future through Jesus Christ is secure in heaven, and that we can look forward to that. But Lord, we also thank you that our future, that assurance that we have, provides for us right now, right here, more beyond our imagination, plus ultra, that we can live fully as reconcilers, as people who are generous, people who are living within their weaknesses and hardships to give glory and honor to you. So guide us, Lord, as we think about those questions, think about those ways in which we are called to be your people, to aim to please you in this life right now. Guide and direct us, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen. And would you stand with me and let's affirm our faith together through the Apostles' Creed?
Well, I hope these messages have been a blessing to you for your life. And if you need any more assistance, be sure to contact the Presbyterian Church of Barnet in Vermont. Thank you.